Today's message. Now, you're all not really glad that I'm not asking you to get too involved in this one, so you can sit down. So that's not a problem. What I've done in my life, I've done quite a lot of sports coaching. I don't know if anybody here does any coaching of any sort in sports or anything. A few nods there, yeah. I'm a qualified coach, and I've taught various different sorts of sports. And I like to teach beginners. I've obviously been a beginner a lot myself, and so I like to teach beginners. And what I have found when I'm learning something as well is sometimes you're learning a new sport or a new technique, there's an awful lot to learn. And it's great when you're learning it, and it's great in practice, but when you get out there in the actual game, for example, suddenly there's a lot going on, it all dumps into the bilge, and you forget everything. So what I like to try and do is teach people is, I teach them a thing, but then I always pick on one thing that is above all. And that's the message, that's the title of today's message. Above all, dot, dot, dot. So if that's the only thing that they remember, then that's a good start. And as they get better, more practiced at it, they will get better. And I'll just do a few demonstrations. It's always good to have a visual demonstration of what I mean. Does anybody know what this is? Which sport this comes from? It's nearly lacrosse, very similar. I'd be very surprised if anybody does know it. It's not a very big sport. It's a sport called polo cross. It's polo because it's on horseback, and it's cross because it's a bit like lacrosse. No, he plays polo. Not as good as polo cross. Polo cross is much more fun. I used to play it. I'm getting a bit old to play it now, but not too bad. What you do in polo cross, you have a big rubber ball in here, and you throw it to each other play as you're riding up and down the pitch. Okay, now throwing the ball with this is actually quite difficult. What I teach people is that what you have to do, above all else, you must keep your wrist very relaxed. If you go stiff with your wrist, the ball won't come out of the racket and you look like a white twat. And it just sticks in the racket and you're not throwing. But if you stay nice and relaxed, keep your wrist relaxed, the ball will come out of the racket and you can throw it to people. So above all else, keep your wrist relaxed. Everything else will come into place if you keep your wrist relaxed. So that's what I teach about that one. I also teach, in the same game, umpiring. I am an umpire. Exactly the same thing as a referee, but we call them umpires. And what I teach about umpiring, and there's an awful lot of rules in polo cross, because it's quite a dangerous sport. There's lots of horses galloping around in quite close contact with each other, so it has to be very tightly controlled. And the primary thing, above all, for an umpire, you must look at safety. Safety is the priority. That's the first priority of an umpire. So in every situation, forget the rules, just look at the safety. So if the umpire looks at safety, that would be great. So if he gets all six players off the pitch at the end, still alive, with no broken bones or damaged heads or whatever, because those sticks swish around quite a lot. I've been twacked on the nose, I've been made blind in one eye at one point. If you can get off the pitch with all six players and all six horses, then you've done a good job. So that's the above all that I say with umpiring. Having said I don't want to interact, I realise I am going to want you to interact. So I'm sorry about that one. I want you to think now, if you were going to coach a beginner Christian, if you were going to coach a beginner Christian in the Christian life, not so much the doctrine, but the Christian life, what would your above all be? Any thoughts out there? The one thing or a one thing you'd like them to concentrate on. Yeah, I mean, they're fairly beginners, you know, they are Christians, but they've only just given their lives to the Lord. Bible reading, excellent, yes, read the Bible, that's God's word, that's where you're going to learn things. Excellent. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, yes, he is our Lord, he's the guy we claim to follow. Any more? Be like Jesus. Imitate Jesus. Yes, the Bible says to imitate Jesus. Not an easy thing, certainly. But there's a thing, isn't it? What would Jesus do or what would Jesus say? That's what we're supposed to do. In this situation, what would Jesus do? Probably not what we would do. And therefore, we need to live that way. That's great. Yeah, what would Jesus do? What did Jesus say?
Have faith.
Have faith, yes. Faith, hope, and love. Love is better than that, but we need faith. Faith is what brings us into the kingdom. Faith is what gives us salvation. We need to trust the Lord. Must be more out there. Pray, you might say.
Encouragement.
Encouragement, yes. Encourage each other. Encourage your fellow Christians. Gain encouragement from the Lord. I mean, there's lots more, really. You could prayer, you worship, you could, you know, loads of things that we could put perhaps above all. And these are all great ideas. And what I want to look at today is the Bible's take on this above all. Now, in James, I love the book of James. It's a very down-to-earth book. It tells you loads of things about Christian life. And things like, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Good grief. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It's not an easy one, is it? In chapter 2, he says this, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Faith without deeds is useless. In chapter 5, he says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. This is all wonderful advice. So he gives us all this advice in the 5 chapters. And in virtually the last paragraph in the last chapter, James says this. He comes with his coup de grace. He says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Above all, don't promise. Does this say yes or no? Now, in a way, you might think that seems rather strange compared to all the other things that we came up with, prayer, faith, talking to God, encouragement, all these things. But what I want to do now is perhaps just unpick this verse and see what, I'll tell you what I believe James was getting at. And in fact, James didn't come up with this. He cheated. He plagiarized it off Jesus, which is not a bad thing. Because in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. Again, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So that's Jesus. And that was being said in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps the greatest, well, undoubtedly the greatest sermon ever given. And Jesus picked this out amongst all the other things that he said. So why is it so important not to make promises? But yeah, I mean, it does seem a little bit trivial in a way. Amongst all the wonderful things, he said, don't make promises. You know, I promise to do this, I promise to do that. But beyond all that, I believe it goes much, much deeper, as in fact you would probably expect. In fact, it goes right to the heart of our Christian life. That's why I believe it is above all. It goes to how we interact with the world and how we want the world to see us, how the world sees us. The Bible tells us this in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. It should come up, hopefully. Yep. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are Christ's ambassadors. What a huge responsibility. As though Christ is appearing through us. People see us, they should see Christ. A huge responsibility. Now, if our friends, family and work colleagues know that we are Christians, and I hope that they do, then believe me, they will be watching you. Some will be watching you, hoping that you will fail. And of course we do, but they will hope they will see you failing and therefore can say, ah, she or he says she's a Christian, but they're rubbish, so we don't need to worry about God. It's all a waste of time. Others will be watching you out of interest to see whether your actions follow what you're saying. Is what you're saying worth listening to? Is it something there that they might want as well? And if we are senior citizens, we might find that our younger brothers and sisters are looking to us to see how they should live. He does this, or John does that, or whatever Martin does this, that's how he lives, that's like a good idea, that's what I'm going to do. As ambassadors, we have to be trustworthy in all that we do, Because God is. In Psalm 33 it says this, "For God's word is something to sing about. He is true to his promises. His word can be trusted, and everything he does is reliable and right. We are told to imitate Christ. In Hebrews 13 it says this, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. What he says happens." When we say yes to something, we should mean yes, and our yes should be able to be trusted. And the same when we say no. In many ways, this is a good idea for parenting. Those of us who've got children or they've got grandchildren, when we say yes, we should mean yes. If we say to our children, "If you do this, we'll give you a reward," and they do it, we must give them that reward. Also, if we say to them they do something and they wrong, "We will do this to you," and they do it wrong, we should do that. They should learn that our yes means yes and our no means no. Now, I know full well that if I tell my grandchildren no, they keep coming back at me. But if I, after about three or four, then say, "Go on then I've screwed up. The kids know full well that all they have to do is moan at me for a couple of minutes and I'll give them in. No. It's a lot easier if your no means no, and they know and they go away. I'm not sure any child's ever done that, but it'd be nice to think they would do one day. So with parenting, it's exactly the same. Our yes should mean yes, and our no should mean no. Now, part of my coaching as well, I used to organise various horse events, including national championships. That's one of the things I used to do. And organising these championships, there was a huge amount to organise, loads of stuff. Toilets, pitches, paramedics, timetables, rules, food, water, and all this sort of stuff, especially if we were camping, which we did a lot of time. And I'll tell you something, it was so wonderful if I had somebody helping me, that if I asked them to do something, they went away and did it. And believe it or not, that's quite rare, unfortunately, my experience. I'd tell somebody to do it, and later on, they would come back and say, "Oh, I didn't have time," or "I couldn't do it." Well, no, it's not right. And it's on the other side of it, it was wonderful, or it's terrible when people wouldn't do it. And it's the same with those who have any managers here. How wonderful is it that if you can tell an employee to go and do something, they go and do it? And how annoying it is when they don't. So all these things give out an impression of who we are and what we do. Now today's memory verse, which I hope you haven't forgotten, is a corollary of this concept, Colossians 3 verse 23. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for men." Note there, it's whatever you do, not whatever you do for the Lord, whatever you're doing at church. It's whatever you do in life, every single thing you do, you should work at it with all your heart, at work, at home, even with your friends. It has been said that even your pets should be better off because you're a Christian. It should impact every single part of our lives. To me, this is one of the things that makes Christian life so hard. To spend all your life working with whatever you do, with all your heart, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. And that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to ask for strength. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit. To do all this without the help of the Holy Spirit, I don't think you're going to manage it. I mean, like the New Zealand Prime Minister. She's decided to step down as Prime Minister because she's worn out. She's been working too hard for too long. So we will be the same as Christians. We will get burnt out. So we pray to the Lord for strength. Now this issue of what I call integrity is not just a New Testament thing. It's not something that Jesus thought up when he arrived at the Sermon on the Mount. In Psalm 15, it says this, "Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind." Ladies, my wife changes her mind all the time. It's a real pain. But it's not too much of a problem because sometimes I know she's going to change it back to where she was beforehand. So if I leave it long enough, she'll get back to where she was before she started. So that's a trick that us men learn. Okay. In Ecclesiastes 9, it says this, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might." So it's not just the New Testament thing. This has been going on forever. God does not change. So, in summary, I would like to say that this verse, though it may seem slightly trivial, that we should, above all, you might think there's a lot more things better than above all, that we must be people of integrity. When we say yes, we mean yes. We must be people who can be trusted to do what we say we will do, whether it be a Christian thing or a work thing. As Christians and as ambassadors, we need to regularly analyse how our lives match up to what Jesus wants of us. We need to ask ourselves, can my word be trusted? Can I be trusted? Do I, as Jesus' ambassador, put him in a good light? When people look at me, do they get an impression that I mean what I say? Do my actions reflect my words? Whatever I do, do I work at it with all my heart? Does my yes mean yes and my no mean no? Now, of course, we're all going to fail. Nobody's perfect. We're all going to screw up at some point. We're not going to have the energy we need to do that thing. But the great thing is that Jesus knows that we're going to fail. He doesn't expect us to be perfect all the time. And he's there willing to forgive us and lift us up. So, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Easy to remember that one, now that you've memorised it. Right, we're going on, I've lost my paperwork, we're going on to song now.